The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Are you recording that, honey? Having a meltdown.
That's good stuff, Maynard. Okay, I should start the podcast. Hello and welcome to ReviewParty.com. It's not spooky this time. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
I hope you weren't spooked away, weren't scared and scared by our Halloween episode last week, because now we got regular comedy again.
That was just for fun. That was just spooky fun.
That was just spooky fun. Like Forever. The 13 ghosts, like the Evil Dead 2, when she gouges out his ankle with a pen.
Oh.
That's just for fun.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah.
You know what else is fun?
Reviewing reviews.
Reviews. And I got one. I was going to say... You know what else is fun? Hobby Lobby. But there's another review that I might have done instead. So I didn't want to jump the gun. But here we are. Hobby Lobby. It's fun. I have a review for... Where is this Hobby Lobby located? Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
Ooh.
I believe that's right outside Milwaukee.
Yeah.
A suburb, perhaps. This is written by Kyle H. They are an elite. Let's see all the elites they got racked up here. Oh my goodness, they're an elite every year, all the way back to 13.
Kyle, nice record.
Kyle, and it says on his little nickname on his profile is Nachos.
Okay. Kyle's almost to the black badge, that means, right? Kyle's probably got a gold badge right now.
Oh, let's see what he's got.
Like the different years should be different colors. Red, it's black. Then gold. It he got the black.
It has been black, bro.
Oh,
wait. It's 13 and then 6 more years as elite. Oh. So this guy's been back
legendary.
Since 06, 07.
Legendary. Wow.
This guy's deep in the black. Almost every year on the profile is
That's
a
insane.
Black belt status almost.
Okay. Props.
So we're dealing with a real elite is what you're telling me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get to the review then for this Hobby Lobby. He writes, my normal Hobby Lobby is the Oak Creek location, closer to where I live, but running errands around this area, we popped in, and this Hobby Lobby is very nice with all that Hobby Lobby has to offer. Seasonal decor, DIY, crafts and art supplies, home decor, frames and frame shop, furniture, always 20% off, closed on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And while we are more into supporting Milwaukee's independent and local makers and maker markets, we notice that Hobby Lobbies and others are doing quick work of mimicking fashionable jewelry and crafts more than ever before.
Ew.
3 stars.
Ew. Like, ew. There's already some questionable stuff in there, but talking about the hip new jewelry?
That the weird...
That the Hobby Lobby is copying
jewelry?
From the farmer's market on Sunday afternoon? What?
Well, they saw.
That's what
know?
They were doing. That's what the Hobby Lobbers were doing on Sunday while the shop was closed.
After church, these crazy bastards are going down and buying this hippie jewelry.
Yeah, we can make this at half the cost.
Yeah, we can put some stupid beads on some string, bro.
Let's sell it at the
lob. That's what the bigwigs of the lobby are saying.
We'll run these stinky bums out of MKE. It's the last thing we do.
It's their mission to have no one be doing anything on Sunday. So if everyone has their jewelry bought during the week, then they won't be going out on Sunday, will they?
You'll just have to go to church.
Just have to go to freaking church because there's nothing better to do.
Yeah, those times where you're sitting at work so bored, you're like, I might as well do work. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. You're praying for something to do on Sunday, and you realize, I might as well be praying in church.
Yeah, if I'm praying here, well, there's one place that does a pretty good job.
It's kind of built
amplified.
In.
They got furniture set up just for praying. They got little stands on the back. You can kneel down and put your little pray elbows on.
That's a good perspective.
Yeah, I hate those things. It just freaks me out that they're there.
Oh, Catholics. What are you going to do? Can't live with them. I don't want to offend them because they have clout.
Oh, what are you going to do if they offend them? They're going to drink some more?
I guess.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Eat some fish on Fridays.
That's good stuff.
It is good stuff. Scotties know.
I'm not doing Lent. I'm not a Lent guy. I might do a thing for Lent where, like, I just give up a vice just because it's good for you.
You're right.
You know, give up some social media for that month. I think that's all well and good. But I'm not giving up any meat, in which case, you know, I would need those Friday fish celebrations. Mm-hmm. But just growing up in Wisconsin, I do appreciate the fresh fry, the Friday fresh fry that was birthed.
Yeah.
From that tradition. I can enjoy that without any of the bad. I can have my perch and I can eat it too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So to our guy Kyle here,
mm-hmm.
it is a little rattling that he, my regular Hobby Lobby, meaning I regularly go to Hobby Lobby.
Mm-hmm. This is a Hobby Lobbyist.
Yeah.
Hobby Lobbyist.
That's just a bit. I mean, when I was younger and I was really into Warhammer miniatures,
sure,
and paint, like maybe a couple months out of the year, I would go to the Games Workshop or maybe a regular hobby store to try and find some paints. But it's not like I walked in.
You would possibly be needing to go to Hobby Lobby so often.
Yeah,
that he would have a regular Hobby Lobby.
I'm in my domain once more. Yeah.
Yeah, you're saying, to lay this out for the audience, you're saying that Hobby Lobby is a once in a while stop for you.
Once in a hard, long while. Yeah.
Yeah. You very rarely do any seasonal decor.
No.
I imagine that's what their main audience is, right? People that are just obsessed with renewing their seasonal decor every year.
If maybe you need some buttons to sew on a pillow. You need I'm going to be honest. If I'm doing crafts, I'm going to Joann Fabrics. Okay?
Sure.
Maybe I'll go to Michael's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a real Joann Fabric guy too. They just something about they're more disheveled than Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby is very sterile to me.
It's so open and yeah, it's just a big,
I've worked
cavernous
retail. Stores aren't supposed to look that nice. You know what I mean? They're not supposed to be that put away and crispy.
He totally commented on that too. Yep, this place looks clean, smells clean.
Yeah,
got the 20% off furniture like always. Yeah,
Joann's is fucked up. You know, some of those departments are run by people that were trained for 2 days and thrown to the wolves.
Yeah,
and I like that.
You walk into Joann's right now, and you'll find Christmas stuff on sale. Like it's not even we're not even for it. They're already putting that stuff on sale. Joann's, what are you doing? Yeah, how are you making it? I don't mean just out, but like already discounted.
Right, like,
we're over it. how?
It surprised how in advance people get prepared for holidays.
Adults.
It's seasons and seasons in advance. I think it's just because homemaking is such a hobby that you know you're just like me waiting for the next video game. They're chomping at the bit for the next season to make their home out.
I mean, fair. If I had nothing but a house to occupy my time with, mm-hmm. that'd be my thing.
When Animal Crossing, when they change seasons, I'm real excited to get some new seasonal decor.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
For sure.
Do you have a review?
I'm pretty sure I do.
No shot.
I've got a Google review for a bar restaurant in Hell, Michigan.
Let's go.
It's a very tiny place with like a bar, a post office. It looks like there's a Hell Creek Ranch campground.
They do have a festival every year on June 6th. I know that about
them. Ah, 6-6. Hope for that other 6.
I think, no, it was the 06. In 06, they had a
festival
on, yeah, June 6th.
So this is for the Hell Saloon. It's a Google review from Fernando C. Fernando writes, April 22nd was first visit to hell. A few times in my life, someone unknown to me had sent me to hell. Now, living in Michigan, so close to hell, wanted to check this out. So I rode my motorcycle alone, as I often do, into town.
To hell.
Almost missed it. Hell was supposed to be huge, but as it turned out, the saloon was bigger than hell. And how wonderful an experience it was. As I was parking my mechanical horse too close to the horse's pen, this couple, now I know on account of the other review, the owners were about going for a ride on their beautiful horses. We shared smiles, and I asked if my bike would be in their way. They said, no worries. But then I thought, a horse has personality, so I better move my motorcycle away. So I did. Went inside. The place was full of bikers, mostly black leather types. Friendly folks having a good time. It was packed, but the waiters managed to keep control of the place. A chef was rapidly mingling between usual business and courtesies with folks. Sat at the bar and ordered some specialty sliders or something else. Was not bad, but it wasn't impressive either. The best part of it was I was in hell and I got away from it. So if you want to send me to hell again, do not bother. Been there, done that. Next. 3 stars.
I was going to save this little morsel of information till after we talked about this review, but it seems so in line with the flavor of the review.
Uh-huh.
The type of joking going on that people from Michigan have a little joke about hell.
Oh.
Yeah. You should never say hell freezes over, because hell's in Michigan. That shit freezes over at least once a year.
I love it.
That's not northern. It's not the upper peninsula, but it is, the north half of the lower peninsula. It is cold.
Let's check
Every part of Michigan gets quite cold.
Let's check it. It's just northwest of Ann Arbor, between Ann Arbor and Lansing. So
what's up there? There's lake effect going on over there. I tell you what.
You got some chill.
There's some wind chill. Anyone that's lived near Lake Michigan in their life, no, that shit is whipping.
Oh, yeah.
Hell, Michigan's more north than some of Canada, to put it in perspective for y'all.
It is.
Yeah. So suffice to say, hell freezes over quite a bit. No reports on pigs flying there yet, though.
There's one other, I guess, Michigan connection. I forgot there was another review. This one from John McDonald. There's less flavor to it, but the flavor that is there is so sweet. John writes, great food, great people. Hell's Saloon crafted an entire menu full of homemade food with great flavor and plenty of character for our local film starring Jeff Daniels. 5 stars.
Oh, Jeffy, huh?
I mean, to meet Mr. Daniels, that's just...
Well, I know Jeff is a Michigan man. He's a Michigander. He's got land all over. He's got a bunch of land up in the up near Escanaba, I do believe. Yeah. Harry from Dumb and Dumber.
Harry?
He's hanging out in hell. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I got to find that film. Shirt's great.
Nice and homemade. I like how the person that wrote the first review was enamored that the chef of this bar was chilling with the townsfolk.
Yeah, like, it's got to be apparently it's a large place because it's larger than the town itself, but a very towny type place with a smattering of tourists.
Probably the type of guy who got the job because he was in the bar shooting the shit with the cooks every day. And they're like, hey, you want a job? And he was like, yeah.
Like, can you hold a spatula? I think so.
I don't know. It sounds like a lovely little bar in a lovely little town.
Yeah.
Those are a dime a goddamn dozen in Michigan, though.
It doesn't surprise me. The one thing, a point I'd like to get your feedback on.
Sure.
Fernando said it was mostly black leather type bikers.
Uh-huh.
What are the other, I guess I know like mini bike, ninja bike bikers.
Oh, sure.
Like what are, how many varieties of bikers are there?
Bikers are there. Well, yeah, there wasn't any motocross guys there, it seems like. No, inline sort of stunt biker, sort of Tony Hawk, but with a bike type. Well, there's biker mice from Mars, but I think they wear black leather too.
Yeah, I think they're leather types.
Well, there's dad bikers who just wear leather, but they're not really wearing the leather. The leather's kind of wearing them.
It's holding them up, yeah, with its rigidity.
Sure. Looking at pictures of the biker mice from Mars, they do also wear like sort of robot,
right? The cyber
accessories,
bikers.
Yeah. So there are probably robot bikers.
Bikes are dangerous, but
the bike gangs from Akira. There's a clown bike gang.
Oh,
they just wear cool. I don't know, that future Tokyo Technicolor like Letterman jackets.
My eyes are wide open with excitement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think in America, it's mostly just the leather boys.
The leather boys.
But I think, they got all kinds elsewhere. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at this clown bike gang, dude. Wicked, bro.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. He's got a purple overalls with little smiley face buttons on him. Oh, boy.
Well, now I got to see.
What are their bikers?
Oh, and his busted teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty rad.
Pretty rad, if you ask me.
Do you have a review to take us out of hell?
Out of hell itself, huh? Sure. Let's go out of hell and into the pumpkin patch for the Swan Pumpkin Farm in Franksville, Wisconsin. Oh. Very Midwestern fall. No one does fall better than the Midwest. No. Let's face it.
Our due.
Yeah, let us indulge once in the only season that's good here a little bit. This review is written by Monique L. She's also an elite. Let's see. Check the black belt status. She's a new elite. Welcome, okay. Monique.
Welcome to the club.
Welcome to the club, which Matt is a part of. Hoo-hoo-hoo. Mm-hmm. Monique writes, my first time to this pumpkin patch was because of the Gordy's 5K Pumpkin Run. It's a pretty convenient location not too far from Kenosha. Because it's so busy, parking was a nightmare, only because it rained the previous night, and we had to park in the grass, which was high and wet. It's a cute little place, but if I didn't have to race, I'd be disappointed in the quality of it. They have a few kids' activities that you can purchase a wristband for $12. Pony ride not included. Corn maze, tractor slide, hay ride, etc. They have a little petting zoo with goats and cows that you can feed. Pumpkins are a bit on the pricey side. Might as well just get them from the store at that point. I will say their apple cider donuts were good. I had one freshly made and it was deliciously tasty and soft. Overall, though, not one of my go-to pumpkin patches. 3 stars. And there's a picture of Monique. She's running.
Nice.
And she's eating a donut. And then she's holding a pumpkin.
Oh. She sounds wonderful. I guess maybe I should.
Unlike this mid-ass pumpkin patch.
Yeah, I suppose I do have the staples that I go to. All right, I'm gonna go over to Tom's Farm Market. I'm gonna go to, what the heck's that other one? That little one. It's just like Jerry's Pumpkin Patch. I know the ones I like.
You got go-to pumpkin patches, huh?
Yeah, I can't even not criticize.
Not me.
The one Jerry's is just like you don't have to pay to get in. It's not like it's not like a fall festival, though they do have stuff set up.
That in my mind's a real pumpkin patch. It's just some dude's farm with a bunch of pumpkins.
Yeah, yeah. It's maybe pretty close to that.
Maybe there's a hayride going around or something. That one, too.
Like, you show up in off hours, and there's a box for you to put money into. Mm-hmm. I think they maybe upgraded where there's a code you can scan and go to a website to pay online. But, like, there's boxes of donuts sitting there, and there's no one there. There's ugly gourds, and there's pumpkins. And you're like,
it's not just like system. It's not like there's a camera on a wall somewhere. It is just in the middle of a field in the middle of nowhere. There's no one watching.
Yeah, you could grab 2 dozen donuts and just...
But you wouldn't.
I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I'm too nice for that.
Because there's a box with money. So it feels much worse to do something bad when there's so much assumption. There's so much trust in you, you know? Just the donuts with the money with the box, they trust you, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's just like the please take one candy.
Mm-hmm. That's what, like, Walmart does not trust you. Cameras everywhere.
Oh.
There's so much donated into loss prevention that could be in their employees' pockets. But I'm not saying steal from Walmart, wink, wink. But I would never do it to a small pumpkin patch with a box for coin placement next to the donuts.
No.
No, that's ridiculous.
To a place that's charging for pony ride. Most of them do.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went to a bit of a bougier pumpkin patch this year. And this place had giraffes.
Okay.
And they also
I don't usually think of giraffes when I think of pumpkins.
Right? They also had camels you could ride, but that was an extra cost. It's like, I don't know if I want to stand in line. I probably should have done it.
Camels I can kind of see, not because they have foul energy to them, just because they're like upgraded horses. Like, what's crazier than riding a horse plus one, a camel? Plus 10 is like an elephant.
Oh.
Plus 12 is those robot dinosaurs from those little convention things that they have. You know what I'm talking about? You ever see those?
I think so.
Well, there's like a traveling dinosaur show.
Yes.
And they'll be like puppets. And
yeah.
I kind of want to go to it, just curiosity. But I feel like a 30-year-old man with no kids showing up to the children's dinosaur exhibition.
Yeah, I think there was actually, speaking of Yelp Elites, there was very recently an elite event where I could have gone to one of those, but it was like the language describing the event was clearly based towards families. Like,
yeah, you got a little kid that wants to scream at some dinosaurs.
Probably not good for old Matt to show up in a hoodie. I'm like, oh, sweet. Dinosaurs.
For people our age without kids, you got to kind of, I think a good gauge is there adult bevies being served?
Yes.
Even if you don't want to partake, just the idea that being served, that means don't bring the chitlins.
I mean, you can do whatever you want.
There's no chitlins, that really drops the opportunity, but people just look at me and judge me as a creep for being at a place where kids are without having kids. Luckily, I can still go to card shacks. That's sort of, you know, kids and old nerds are allowed to hang out there. Pumpkin patches, I could probably get, you know.
Yeah.
Especially if you bring a GF.
Yeah. It's a warm little fuzzy.
Yeah, you can't get away with, oh, I brought my GF to the dinosaur thing. That really wouldn't take away from it, I don't think.
The right GF, that'd work, but.
Even then, though, it's like, even if you're having a good time, people would be looking at you. Oh, they're going on a date to a dinosaur date. Kids show? Ew.
Might as well go to Disney on Ice.
Disney on Ice. Now that shit is good for some laughs.
Yeah, love it.
You know someone's going to fall. Someone in a big costume is going to fall, and someone in a smaller costume is going to have to come and help them up. Yeah. Oh, Toy Story on Ice? Motherfucking Potato Head. He basically had two attendants to help him up every 2.5 minutes.
Oh, poor person in there.
Ham was like a tank. That's... Ham was like four people in a rig for skating. I wanted to be a ham guy. What is that? Is that break time? It's time for a little fall break after our little tangents there.
Take a little respite.
A respite, even.
Ooh.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. Reviewparty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second half of the episode, and welcome to... Reviewer Redux.
Hey, who's coming back?
Who's coming back indeed? This person is an interesting person. This person, you might say, is different than the rest. Or maybe they might say it, because it's none other than IMDb reviewer, A Different Drummer.
A Different Drummer. I remember the name.
You remember the name.
I'm having feelings towards it, and they're not nice.
Yeah. I'll give me 1 second to remember her
name. Not that
name.
I dislike them. Just, you know, there's trepidation being drummed up inside me.
Right. Let me just say one actress name and see if that rattles the memory loose. Mandy Moore.
I knew it. As soon as he said actress.
The ageless face.
The ageless face. Yeah, there's something. The cream.
Yeah, there was a lot going on in that. For those of you who haven't caught on, a different drummer left an IMDb review for A Walk to Remember and waxed poetic about how time travel is technically reality, because we can go watch A Walk to Remember and always see Mandy Moore's flawless 18-year-old face.
They're amazed by how cameras and film worked to capture a moment for all time.
For the most part, we're kind of just, we get a little bit of ew from A Different Drummer. And that's what this first review is going to give us, I think. It's a review for Don't Worry, Darling. That very, very bandied about film starring Harry Styles and Amanda, what's her name? It's Amanda, right? Florence Pugh. I don't know who Amanda is.
Ooh, Amanda Bynes?
Amanda Pete.
Amanda.
A Different Drummer titles the review, Just a Highlight Reel for Pugh. And writes, Turnabout is fair play. Wild went to a lot of trouble, too much trouble, to catch the audience off guard. So this review will do the same thing. That's kind of scary just to hear. With so many eyeballs on the screen looking to see if Wilde's directorial chops are holding up, the real key to the film is Pugh's performance. It is astonishing. It proves that Black Widow, where she stole the movie from every other cast member, was no fluke. Here, she twists that great face into at least 1,000 different expressions, each fully appropriate for the scene she is playing in. Even as the movie implodes during the second half, trust me, it does, she still draws the eye, still keeps us interested. A Star is Born. Double parentheses, designated quote, IMDb top reviewer. Please check out my list, 167 plus nearly perfect movies, with the occasional anime or TV miniseries you can / should see again and again, 1932 to the present. Close parentheses. That was the other thing. Maybe this was, we've had a couple of IMDb reviewers who were like, who got big nuts and aren't afraid to try and swing them.
Sure. Yeah, I don't get the hustle on IMDb. Does anyone, do big critics come out of IMDb?
That old Ebert got his start on IMDb. Someone read his review, found it helpful, and that was it. A star reviewer was born.
So that's that for that review.
Yeah, that's that. I think all of these end with the same. I didn't give the star. 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10. What floats up to the surface for me from that review is, I agree, Florence Pugh did steal Black Widow. She is a wonderful actress with great screen presence who seems very fluid and can do play a lot of different tones, right? Mm-hmm. But I think maybe this is a snobby joke take, but I think that saying she simply twists her face into different expressions really minimizes the the methods that actors use in order to act.
The second half of that sentence is what gets me. Each expression is fully appropriate for the scene she is playing in. It was an appropriate performance? Thank you.
And she doesn't just have a list of faces in her mind and face sad 732F initiate. That is right. The perfect one for this situation.
She's some little Tim Burton clay doll. He's going, swap the head out.
Like a PlayStation character where their body's 3D, but their face is still just different drawings. Like you just got to put on, the right drawing for this moment here. Uh-huh. See, I imagine that she feels things. She thinks she tries to feel. Maybe this is putting too much stock in her being a bit of a method actor. But I think every actor does a bit of that.
Like when you're in the performance, I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah, you're trying to get in the shoes of your character and just be natural. Just if you were them or knowing what they know or whatever, how would you feel? And then a face happens, right? There's an implication that acting is very face first. That you make an expression and then that informs your performance. Yeah. But I think the expression is probably informed by the performance. Maybe that's a little too much, but I don't know.
This tells us more about a different drummer than it does about acting.
That's true. In Japan, there are these books where it just will have a person making a face and what emotion they feel under it.
Okay.
And it's to help with people that, have trouble understanding what people are feeling from their body language. That's a skill that a lot of us take for granted, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But they are very creepy to look at. And I know the Attack on Titan author, who's famous for drawing very creepy faces, uses those books as references for the Titans, monsters in his manga.
Okay.
He also uses celebrities. That's why there's some that there's that one Titan that weirdly looks just like Freddie Mercury.
Maybe I haven't seen that one yet.
I've only watched season one. Is Freddie Mercury season two? But anyway, yeah. That's what a different drummer's got going on. But do we have more drummer?
We've got three more. They're all a little meaty. I don't know if I'm going to go through all of them.
We got time. I talked too much about that.
All right. This is an IMDb review for Thriller, A Cruel Picture. It's a 1973 film. Different drummer titles the review Historical Interest Only and writes, "And even by historical standards, it is interesting only for its unusual tropes. A mute heroine combined with slow-mo action scenes. Keep in mind that in this era, the U.S. was leading the world in outrageous exploitation tales. The Last House on the Left came out a year ahead of this. And the slasher film, a close cousin of the revenge tale, was already a mature subgenre in its own right. This one stands out for its willingness to insert clips from porn films in the appropriate spots." There's that word appropriate again. "Something which U.S. censors would not have tolerated. And gets points for that. But the notion of an entire film where the protagonist is mute has never been repeated. And for good reason. It doesn't work. Without audio, this production has more in common with the 1920s than the 1970s. Nice footage of the Ford GT. 5 out of 10.
This dude says there's no meat protagonist that's never played a Japanese RPG in their life.
Yeah, I feel like there's probably a lot.
When you play Pokemon, Ash ain't talking. That's only anime, okay?
Oh, that little...
That little dot, dot, dot. That little that's dot, all dot, you dot. Can do. what about you ever play Half-Life, bro?
I haven't Gordon Freeman, personally, but...
Gordon Freeman, he don't talk. Samus? Mm-mm. No. Link? No, no, no.
No.
Never, never.
No.
We wish Mario didn't talk in the new movie. But he has a little bit to say.
Yeah, yeah. Team French dub? Is that? I think that's where I've landed.
Mm-hmm. There's an entire trope on TVTropes.com called The Heroic Mime, all about mute protagonists.
I love it.
And I remember there's this book about horse racing.
Mm-hmm.
Where the protagonist is literally mute, not just in an RPG sort of way. So
I
screw them.
Yeah, I think this review will change our mind a little bit on a different drummer. It's
Let's
a review
go.
For Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, titled "Remember Borat Was an International Hit."
I guess.
They write, "Seriously, before you reach for that keypad and say anything unkind about Marcel, who has never said an unkind word about anyone and generally keeps his opinions to himself, remember that our culture elevated Borat to cult status back in 2006. So, if Borat was great filmmaking, Marcel will need a new pair of shoes, and probably a tux, to accept his long overdue Oscar. Even before this project got to the big screen or small device used in place of a big screen, it was already an internet sensation for voice actress Jenny Slate. Jenny's tone and delivery are so delicately nuanced that it makes the award given to Finding Nemo back in 2004 look like an accounting error. Words like delightful and captivating and unique don't do Marcel justice. I would ask the little guy to step up here and say a few words for himself. But right now, I think he's trying to find a way to make bird sculptures from ice cream. Ever since the feature release, he doesn't sleep much. Or if he does, he keeps one eye open." I'm assuming that's jokey references to the film. 10 out of 10!
Well, yeah, I appreciate Little Drummer holding up independent comedy. You know, I'm not going to... I can't argue with that. Got me there, A Different Drummer. And also, yeah, I haven't seen the movie yet, but I'm a big fan of Marcel, the show.
I'm a fan of Jenny Slate, so.
Yeah, she funny. That little YouTube bit funny. I bet the movie funny.
Okay, you know what? We'll end it on one that I know we both have seen. If you haven't seen it, I'm going to be very sad. This is Different Drummer's review for The Mask of Zorro, 1998. Antonio Banderas.
Oh, I saw that when I was a kid. I don't really remember it.
I haven't seen it in years either. Just let it be known that this is where I decided to find movies that Different Drummer hates.
Mm-hmm.
Different Drummer titles the review "Abomination." Let's set the record straight. They write, "Sometimes you throw pearls before swine and they don't see it. Sometimes you throw suet before swine and, not knowing any better, they think it is pearls. On IMDb, I have already reviewed the silent film Zorro, the Tyrone Power version, which remains the template for the character, and the Guy Williams version, which, given the year and the audience and the budget, is brilliant. And then you get to this piece of junk. A high-concept exercise in insanity. Could this be what happened? Suit number one. Hey, Hopkins did so well in the Hannibal film. He has testosterone to spare, even at his age. Let's see if we can sell a producer on the idea of him as Zorro. Suit number two. Gee, bud, that is brilliant. Really thinking outside the box. But just in case someone should notice that this guy already qualifies for a senior citizen discount at the buffet table, let's hedge our bets with someone younger and closer to the original. I hear Banderas is free, mainly because he never lost that accent. And a lot of people have no idea what he is actually saying. I didn't read this whole thing. I was just sold on the sass, but oh my God. Suit number one. Okay, and for sex appeal, let's get Zeta Jones. She has been doing mainly TV stuff and is hungry for a screen role. Suit number two. Brilliant, bud. They ain't never going to replace you with a computer. and scenario. And if that is not the way this film was conceived, it is pretty darn close. For the record, there is nothing Zorro-like about this badly acted, badly written, and badly directed film. It is terrible. 1 out of 10.
Probably. Right. It's very probably right.
It was the late 90s. It didn't matter.
It wasn't about... I don't think Zorro's about being good.
No.
I think Zorro's about making some dollars off of Antonio Banderas' little tushy. His little accent.
Yeah, there are parts of that that I remember unsettling me a bit. Like the guy's head in a jar or something.
Sometimes heads be in jars.
Sometimes heads be in jars.
That's a reality I've come to accept from a very young age.
And I learned it from The Mask of Zorro.
I learned it from Futurama.
Ah, there's that, yeah.
Sometimes heads be in jars.
Well, that closes our review redux. It was wonderful getting to know a different drummer. Just so much better.
Yeah.
What a weirdo. But they picked the right name.
Yeah, it really fits. You really know what you're getting, right, when you get it. Here's a product I hope. I think people would hope they know what they're getting when they get it. It's the 365 by Whole Foods Market Syrup Maple Dark Grade A Organic. Not Amazonified. This is a Whole Foods brand organic dark maple syrup. I have two reviews here. They're both kind of funny for different reasons. And they share the same weird naming convention up to their usernames.
Oh.
This first one is from Cheryl from Arizona. They title it Wonderful Tasting Pure Maple Syrup at a Fair Price. They write, "This is an excellent maple syrup. I love the darker color grade for a tiny bit of extra flavor depth. And it is not always easy to find. There's no such thing as too much maple syrup in my world. I can eat the stuff with a spoon, and I do. I use it primarily in homemade hot cocoa rather than sugar. The cocoa overwhelms any maple flavor, so little, if any, is detected, but the subtle and natural degree of sweetness is pure perfection. If pancakes are your thing, this is the icing on the pancake. I've tried many brands from the grocery store shelves, and this 365 is thumbs up emoji 5 stars. And before you say Brent, I know you just said pancake funny because you're reading the words of the review funny. No, they spelled that P-A-N-C-A. Pancake. This is if pancakes, that one's spelled normal. If pancakes are your thing, this is the icing on the pan.
Cake.
Oh, got it.
That's awesome. This is the future. This is how we spell. This is how we enunciate in our reviews.
She really wanted to make sure that pun got across, I think is what's going on here.
Or she's hopped up on sugar from eating it with a spoon.
She's saying like don't worry, the cocoa sort of makes the maple into a subtle flavor. It won't overwhelm the cocoa. I don't think you're too worried about that when just moments before you were boasting about eating it by the spoonful.
Like, that's the frenetic energy of it's so good. You can eat it with a spoon. And I do. Just kidding. But yes, I do. Oh, Cheryl.
And
breathe, Cheryl.
I was looking into maple things because that's one of my favorite things about the fall season.
I love maple, yes.
Maple flavored things. It's my pumpkin spice. It's my little pumpkin spice hill to die on.
I'm not a pea spicer either.
I'm not a pea spicer, but I don't hate the pea spicers. I don't like the flack that the pea spicers get. You know, they like a seasonal flavor and they like it loud.
Yeah.
Let them be loud. I wish there was that sort of uproar for maple. You know, if it was maple getting that kind of publicity, I would be one of the maple heads. But I'm just quietly over here enjoying maple with my other maple enjoyers.
Mm-hmm.
I think pumpkin spice is just sort of a loud. You need to celebrate it. Maple is more quiet and subtle. Underneath the cocoa, as they say.
Gotta tap those trees. Takes time.
Yeah, I'm the kind of guy who... I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. No, I'm not eating pancakes to eat pancakes. The pancake is simply a vessel.
It's a vehicle to get to that sweet, sweet maple.
Right. to give the syrup something solid to hide in, Trojan horse style, into my mouth.
Rather than straight off the spoon.
Right. That would be crazy. I just want pancake soup. That is normal.
Oh, God.
This one is from Nancy from Georgia.
Oh.
They write, delicious syrup. They write, I've never been a fan of, quote, real maple syrup.
Get out of town.
It's too runny and weak flavor. Wow. However, this organic syrup is outstanding. I tried it because it is so inexpensive for the size and has a bold taste. I don't know how they sell it for what they do. The syrup is thinner than Mrs. Buttersworth, but it coats waffles and pancakes and biscuits well. And the taste is unbelievable. Maple on steroids. If you are a maple fan, you will not be disappointed. 5 stars.
Okay, I know the breakfast plate can get chaotic sometimes.
Sure.
You get some maple on your scrambled eggs, you'd be like, hey, it's maple on the sausage. Hey, that's fine.
Oh, maple, you might accidentally let a sausage roll right into the maple dipping area.
Did I do that?
Quote, accident.
Oh, my. Oh, sneaky little sausage got into my maple. Oh, no. Whatever will I do?
It'll take a big bite, probably.
Oh, and go, hide the evidence. Quick.
I've been bad.
But maple on a biscuit? What?
I mean, I think that's a southern, from Georgia situation.
Yeah.
I think that's also why she prefers Mrs. Buttersworth to real maple syrup.
Oh, yeah. You got that artificial. It's got butter flavor added to it.
I kind of like artificial. One of my favorite brands of syrup is the Eggo brand syrup.
Okay.
That's just high fructose corn syrup with maple flavoring.
Yeah.
That kind of hits the spot in a nostalgic way.
Sure.
But I'd never pass that up for real maple syrup.
Yeah. Where you can, like, taste the sugar.
The sugar. Ooh, you can see the little crystals
in
there.
Yeah, it sugars up on the glass bottle.
Mm.
So you know how much, like, ooh, this is quality stuff that came in a glass bottle.
This will kill me, not because it's filled with chemicals, but because it's filled with so much nature, so much power from Mother Nature herself.
Ooh, if I could only harness that.
You can with a pancake or a waffle.
Mm, I guess a biscuit. I'd do it. Yeah, like you put chicken in a biscuit with some maple on there.
I'm kind of thinking like honey on biscuit. I've had that before.
I've had that from McDonald's.
And maple is just honey's northern cousin.
It's true. Yeah, I can't. There's no fault in that logic.
It's just maple syrup is just honey minus the bees. You know what I mean?
You got molasses living down south. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Oh, they probably put molasses on biscuits. I'm starting to think they're putting anything on biscuits these days.
People get nuts.
Nuts? I don't know about that. That's sort of dry on dry.
Yeah, you don't want that. Textural differences, please.
Peanut butter, though, on a little English McMuff.
Mm. Yeah.
That's basically a biscuit.
Yeah.
Did you have a quickie, or you just want to gas this one?
I got a quickie here. This is a Google review of the Butera Market's grocery store, written by John Morrow. I think John is related to a different drummer because John writes, fresh, but employees are sweet. I like this place. They have a no-fee BMO ATM. I have it. Kids work there. You should talk to them. 5 stars.
I love that.
I love that for John. Yeah.
Listen, fellow elderly. You want to vicariously feed on some useful energy through conversation, through delightful conversation with a youth? Head on down to this grocery store and hold them hostage with your conversation because they are delightful.
Yep. By pure virtue of them having to bag your groceries, they are condemned to 5 minutes of, yeah, well, apples used to be 15 cents for a pound. So.
They are paid to stand there and listen to you complain about your old sad life.
It's fine though, because the BMO ATM is there, and that's the bank I have. I have BMO.
That's the bank I have, and that one's for free.
It's free. You're
I do
sweet.
Like a good free ATM. You make a mental note when you hit an ATM.
That's
and
true.
There's
yeah.
no charge.
These
You're
days,
like, oh.
well, maybe not these days. We're going pretty paperless, but it's still good to know when you can avoid that nasty little $2 charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's Quick Trips around here. Quick Trip will take you if you're using their ATM. They don't mess around. But there's a Shell by my house that's no fee. It's pretty crazy.
Good people of Shell. Yeah. That's not true.
I quit going to that Shell for gas because they don't have any hand sanitizers things or in their gas pumping area.
Huh.
And I'm thinking, like, pre-COVID, there was always hand sanitizer thingies.
Please and thank you. Yeah.
Why are they popped off now? I just, you know, if I'm not going in to get something, I still got to touch those nasty handles that literally everyone has to touch.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get some liquid on my hands that makes me pretend that the germs are gone. but we should end the episode before we go on another tangent.
Okay.
Here.
Okay.
We're a little chatty little Kathys this week.
My name's Kathy.
My name's Chatty. And this has been ReviewParty.com. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for making it to the end of the episode. You're in the Real Ones Club now.
Real Ones.
RealOnes.com is the spinoff fan, the Review Party fan podcast. Anyway, we got new episodes of this funny little podcast every Tuesday. That's right. Hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day. Check it out Tuesday morning. If Brent forgets to upload it Tuesday morning, Matt will remember to upload it in the morning. Still
That's all
morning.
Right. That's all right. Sometimes the blog isn't always written for Tuesday either. But Matt might be counting on no one checking it until Thursday, Friday.
In my defense, I did have that motherfucker sitting in the drafts to be launched out. It just totally... I think it's because I was so thorough about the pre-setup that my mind felt safe enough to forget that I actually didn't upload it. But anyway, if you have any funny reviews to send to us that you want us to talk about on the show, we would love to see them. Send a hyperlink or a screenshot or whatever the hell to reviewparty.com@gmail.com. Include your name so we can give you some credit for it.
You can also reach out to us on the social medias at reviewparty.com for Instagram and TikTok. Do the things that you do on there and do them with us. It'll be a blast. You do that same stuff on Twitter at reviewpartypod. Send us stuff. Quote, tweet us. Follow. Yeah, that's the one. And if you're like, that's a little too interpersonal, as a little back and forth isn't so good for me right now, I need to focus on me, then take yourself to reviewparty.com, where it's just a playground made specially for you, full of all of our episodes, the blog posts that are usually written on time for day of publication, the shop, and goodies and treats for the eyes.
Treats for the eyes.
Yeah. And ears?
I was just going to say, I'm talking about some treats for the ears over here, which are also related to another part of the face. I'm talking nosebleeds, baby.
Ooh.
You heard their song, Bread for Breakfast, throughout the episode, whether you knew it or not.
Now you do.
It's our theme song. It's called Bread for Breakfast. It's by Nosebleeds. They have more music, and it is also good. You can listen to it for free, I'm told, on Spotify. That's right. Just search nosebleeds. One word. That's how the word nosebleed is written without a space. It would be a different sort of connotation with the space. Matt, do you have a review to finish this out?
I do. This, you know, yeah, I don't have much to say about it other than.
Just hit me.
This is a Google review for a McDonald's in Paris, France. It's right near the Eiffel Tower. Google user Liam Lewis writes, I went in this branch of McDonald's to use the plug sockets and curl off an absolute monster in the toilet. But when I went downstairs and told the lady to fill my water bottle with tap water, she told me I have to actually buy something if I want to use the facilities. And the worst part is she was speaking in French, so it was just a load of nonsense. Ronald must be spinning in his cold, cold grave. One star.
I think Ronald's the dude who made that rule.
Probably, yeah.